Oh me, oh my, it's the Tropecast.
Everybody, this is Adam Smithy, and welcome to the Tropecast, one of the many, many individual, smaller robots that go together to combine to form the Webcast Beacon Network.
Do we form the head?
No, I'm pretty sure the webcomic beacon forms the head, but
the clavicle? I'd be proud to be the clavicle of that.
I'd argue that, if anything, we may be the crotch, and, you know...
That I will also accept.
I would totally...
That's an important part.
It is a very important part.
It's form blazing sword.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then when... Of course, then when the attacks don't work, you know, then we get to do the whole, like, it's okay, it happens to every giant robot now and again. All right.
We're going to have to find a new power source.
This is the Tropecast. My name is Adam Smithy of webcomichell.com, joined as what will eventually become always by Mike and Liz. Caller, sign in, please.
Caller, sign.
That would be you, Mike.
Oh, hello. I'm Mike from OnyxSparrow.com. How's it going?
And this is Liz from AdrastusComic.com.
Hooray!
So, tonight we are doing horror tropes. I will also, just kind of as a fair warning... tell everybody, I broke a tooth this afternoon, and I am on some Vicodin and like a half. So, this is going to be a very, very interesting trope cast.
At least I'm not the one on the Vicodin.
Yes.
The last time I was on Vicodin, it was very, very bad.
What happened?
I don't remember that whole week. But I know it happened, because apparently when I am on Vicodin, I draw my characters in lingerie as catgirls.
Oh.
Fantastic. Where do we see these episodes?
Yeah,
well, this was years ago.
The giant robot.
Yeah,
this was years ago, so it was pre-Adrastus.
Oh, man, you need to take some more, because I want to see, I want to see the robot in lingerie. I think.
All right, I'm going to write that idea down, and, you know, I might be able to do that without the drugs.
I think we could tear that idea up pretty good. Anyway.
Summon Banana Hammock of Doom.
Oh, my God.
So, we also will be joined in a couple of minutes by a podcast veteran, not previously seen or heard from in the... Beacon Network, a long-running friend of mine from, like, 1997, who's not got any particular expertise with horror movies, but has seen a ton of them, and he's going to also lend his sword to this discussion as soon as he wakes back up. So, it's nice. Been one of those. So, let's see, where's the... I'm trying to find my original post that has all the things that Liz submitted for tropes. We're doing horror tropes because at the speed that Fess is editing these, this will be downloadable probably about the time we're getting close to Halloween. But the nice thing is, horror movies happen all the year round. You get horror movies and, like, there's always a couple of, you know, Christmases... all nice and good, so here, have a movie about somebody being murdered in their dorm room by a guy in a burlap sack. You know, there's There's a horror movie for practically every occasion. So,
well, that's why we have Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah, and Christmas Sleigh and Jack Frost.
Christmas and Jack Frost. And yeah.
Not the Jack Frost that's got Michael Keaton in it. The Jack Frost that's got the killer snowman and the carrot going into inappropriate places. And did you know they made a sequel to that that's set on a tropical island? That's that's beautiful. It is. It's... All right, let's see if we can't drag John into this mess, too. Are you there?
No, I'm never here.
All right, we are live, so not that I don't think anybody's actually listening, because we've just started this time slot, so they really haven't quite picked up yet. But we're recording it for posterity later, so... Oh, we got a listener.
Hooray!
So, would you like to tell everyone who you are and plug a website or a podcast or something? I've been warning everybody. I broke a tooth earlier. I've taken some Vicodin. I'm kind of out of it, so this is going to be a very...
I guess it's easier than taking, you know, booze or something like that.
It's going to be a very free-flowing and open podcast tonight. The podcast is 10 to ? Tonight. It's going to be one of those.
Hour, Adam's going to be going, I love you guys.
I do.
I really love you guys.
I already love you guys.
And then he starts snoring randomly in the middle of the podcast.
All right. So before we get further derailed, you want to tell everybody who you are and where you hail from?
I'm non-existent. I don't exist anywhere in the universe. True. My name is John Jay. I am the proprietor and designer of the AdultSwimCentral.com, which you can find at AdultSwimCentral.com. I am also the co-host of both the Adult Swim Central Swimcast, which you can find on aforementioned website, as well as the brand new Adventure Club podcast, which I host with MovieBrainRot.com's Jim DeSantis. You could find that at adventureclubpodcast.com, where we talk about general stuff, geekdom, tech, video games, absurd news, and the like. I think I've whored myself up enough now. So where am I again?
This is the Tropecast. It's a sub-podcast of the Webcast Beacon Network, which is a spinoff of the Webcomic Beacon. And it originally started hypothetically as a webcomic-like trope discussion, but has sort of spiraled into...
insanity.
Well,
of course. I love that stuff.
It's us talking about tropes, but it's also, Fess has been bugging me to get people who aren't just webcomickers on here, and you are not just a webcomicker, so I believe we have officially, met one of our quotas.
Woohoo! Achievement unlocked.
Yes.
Job well done. Good night, everybody.
All right.
John Jay, everybody. Thank you. All right. No, we're doing some horror-themed tropes tonight. So we will once again be reading from the book of TVTropes.org, and, of course, the standard cautionary warning about TV tropes is, as it always is, TV tropes will eat your soul if you let it. But it's kind of pleasant to let it. So, why am I not finding the thing where we... Oh, here we go. All right.
That big, long discussion that we had.
The big, long discussion where we had a bunch of tropes that we sent to each other. Actually, it looks like we only had 3. So, yay.
Oh.
Anyway. Right, so...
I know I linked to way more than 3 tropes.
No, you... Oh, wait, no, it's... Okay, it's an expand this comment thing. All right, never mind. So, anybody got a particular place they want to start? Horror movies, if you don't know what a horror movie is, might I suggest that you just go, take all the shelves out of your fridge and climb in it and just wait, and it'll come to you. Wow, I really am kind of mean sometimes. No, we're just... Tropes... Well, Tropes are the essential building blocks of narrative. They're the broad brushes and the paints by which we tell stories and characters, recurring themes that exist through all narrative structure. And we're going to talk about spooky dooky ones.
Yes. So. Well, this is a legitimate question, the difference between horror and like thrillers, because there is a distinction between them.
Well, and I think...
And not everybody knows what that is, really.
I think horror has even changed anymore because, you know, like Saw, I don't... That's not a horror movie to
no,
me.
No, it isn't. Just, it isn't a horror movie. It's a thriller.
That's like a terror movie to me. It's...
Gore movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the distinction you get through a horror movie has always been your protagonist being against a supernatural, something that's above and beyond them that they have to somehow defeat. A thriller has always been something more of a mystery, but it's still human. It's still a realism based setup.
Yes.
So horror's always going to be your Saul big... and Freddy Krueger.
Yes, pretty much.
All right. So I'm going to post... I'm going to start with this one because this is the one that Liz put the note. This one is a must. What was that noise? I'll go investigate. And that's...
Oh, my God.
Curiosity killed the cast.
That's how, like, every horror movie starts.
Well, pretty much, you always get through. You always have the mystery. You have the one guy that decides, I'm going to wander off this way completely by myself, and he'll say, I'll be right back, and he won't be back. He'll never come back. He'll be dead.
They never come back.
No.
They never come back.
Unless, of course, it's a subversion of the trope, at which time, you know, that person turns out to have been completely fine the entire time. But,
Or they end up being the killer, or they're held off to be the final kill before the final reveal, or they're there as a red herring, basically.
But 99% of the time, they don't come back.
No, they just don't come back.
Yeah, unless, like you said, they are the one that's actually doing the killing, and then that's a different sort of thing. So, why is it not letting me post the links to this? It's... I guess I'm not... Okay, so you guys talk about this while I try and figure out how to get the links working again. I'm going to post the link to us so that anybody that's not on the page there can... I just heard it go through.
Bloop, bloop. Yes. Apparently, if I'm not looking at the page, it bloops at me. Fantastic.
This is the trope where I always go, this person does not play role-playing games.
Well, no. It's always, there's always strength in numbers, and there's being hatcheted to the face in low numbers.
Yeah. It's like, this Most person obviously killers... doesn't play role-playing games, because if they did, they would know you go in the group. You don't split the party.
No, you do not split the party. You do not wander off on yourself. It's never a good plan.
Yeah, it's... It's like horror movie 101. It's well, I think the only time that this is a forgivable sin is if the person who does it does not realize that they are actually in a horror movie. They're the one that's about to discover for the sake of everyone else that you are in fact in a horror movie and not in something else.
Yes.
A romance comedy.
Someone has to be the first victim.
Yes.
And surprisingly, for some reason, it's always been a black guy. I don't know how that works.
Actually, you know, that is one of those, they call that on TV tropes, a dead unicorn trope. All right. It's, everybody knows that there's, the trope is called Curiosity Killed the Cast, and it's basically that, you know, the person who's, The person who wanders off to see what that noise is might as well just stick their head right in a blender, because that's about what's going to happen to you. But the thing you were talking about with the black guy being the first one that dies, that rarely happens in horror movies. As far as, like, actual statistical deaths, you're much more likely to be killed if you're a perky young blonde college student than you are a single black guy.
Well, monsters like to go after the little young blondes, right, college students. Now, actual serial killers like to go after the black guys.
Well, if you're talking about all types of movies with death, the black guy, especially for an action movie, is much, much more likely to die than anybody else, because that's you know, often where the guns wind up being pointed first or things like that. But
and of course, the division between if there are two black guys, one will survive to the end. But I digress.
We're close to the end.
Hmm? Oh, close We're to close the end. To yeah. The end. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, that always puts me in mind of Night of the Living Dead and the poor main character guy who gets so close up until.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
'Twas stupidity that killed the beast in that one, anyway. So, yeah. Let's see. Oh, and you know, this is a good one to talk about just as a related for it, and that is Too Dumb to Live. Which is, let's see here, from the site itself, the character who puts life and limb at risk by doing things that no sane human being would do. Walking down the alley alone to tell his friend about the serial killer. Yeah.
Hearing a noise and going up the stairs to investigate.
I was just about to say something about that. That must be what that, because that drives me crazy.
Up the stairs?
Chick, you're in, you ran right by the front door to go up the stairs. How stupid are you?
Hello, anybody here? I'm going to go take a shower, okay?
Yeah, I've never gotten the up the stairs thing unless it's, the only thing I could think would be that it's tied into some sort of basic human-like higher ground is a strategic advantage, but the only place Maybe. That you have any sort of strategic advantage would be right there on the staircase. Once right. you lose that staircase advantage, unless you've got a fire escape or something, you've just boxed yourself into like
death.
Yeah,
pretty that's much. When they get to climb out on the roof and such, of course.
Or hide in the closet, because no one's ever going to think to look at hiding in the closet.
No, absolutely not.
We have lost Mike, it looks like.
No, Mike!
He went to go check on the noise.
Oh, man, he split the party.
Yeah.
Mike's going right. to be the first one to die.
Everybody else, back to back. We'll... I've got an idea. I've got the shotgun. Everybody stand behind me instead of in front of me.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. No. Okay. So, yeah, that's, let's see, what were some of the other delightful ones that we had gotten out of that post, which I had to scroll away from in order to get the link. This is a good one, especially with, like, the 80s slashers. The enemy rising behind.
Yes.
Bob is facing the camera, unknown to him, an enemy is rising up right behind him. Of course, this doesn't have to be about the. This is especially in horror movies. You get the enemy that you're pretty sure is dead rising up right behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they disappeared off that cliff for around the corner, or fell down a hole, or something happened to them, and you can't see them anymore. And suddenly, they're right there!
Yeah, that's the... Jason Takes Manhattan, Friday the 13th, Part 8. There's a scene where they're like running and up a flight of stairs onto the top of the building, and then poop, he's there. And I've never, like, what, does Jason have some sort of automatic respawn teleport ability that nobody ever bothered to mention before?
Something like that, yeah. Well, we already know that all stalker villains can only walk at a moderate plotting speed and yet somehow stay at a pace with you, so.
Yeah, the only other character that I've ever seen be able to do that is Pinkie Pie. Forever.
There's also that scene from, if you remember the original Creepshow, the skit with Leslie Nielsen and Ted Danson. when the sea they turn to like sea monsters at the end. Ted Danson and his girlfriend, they're like coming after Leslie Nielsen. He closes the bathroom door and he pauses and he looks behind him and they're right behind him, and then some weird stuff happens.
Well, yeah, it's I'm not sure if there's a trope for it, but that's definitely one of those things. If you think, we got chat people apparently. Do we have chat people?
Why?
Cancel. Hey.
Hey, chat that I cannot see.
Don't.
Welcome to my nightmare.
All right, you guys talk for a minute while I try to get this chat situation sorted out. We're not ignoring you, chat people, guys. We're just locked out of the chat room for some reason. So you pick one of the other tropes and go for it, and I'll be back uno momento.
Do we remember what the other tropes were?
Well, you had the list, so I was just trying to see what else we had
going on. Well, I can't. I'm not going to like sit here and scroll through a million pages.
Hold on a second.
No, it's not fair at all.
Share. Okay, got it.
We could talk about beef jerky.
Beef jerky is awesome.
We could talk about beef jerky.
Beef jerky. Beef jerky.
Good.
Yeah, can beef jerky be in a horror film?
Oh, yeah. Leatherface.
Well, I guess that kind of works. And Freddy Krueger's kind of like beef jerky.
Okay, I just shared the thing, so it's on everybody. If you go to your Google Pluses, it's like the top post right
Google
now.
Google Pluses, how many screens am I supposed to have on for this shindig? Jeez.
Like two, three?
17.
17, oh boy.
Oh, yeah, but that it only shared my post and not Liz's.
I know I had something about a creepy basement.
Keep talking. I'm looking for it.
That gets into the idea of the, you know, don't go upstairs. You also don't go into the basement. But things tend to be down there. Creepy crawly things. I want to take your spleen and serve it to you.
Hit you in the head or make you fall down.
Oh, yes, and always go after the furnace, because the furnace is the safest thing you want to check out. This red thing full of... What the hell was that?
That was me. Sorry.
Ding dong.
Things are fighting me on this computer.
It's possessed. The machine's coming to get you.
And I just... Hello, Sydney.
Hello, Sydney.
What's your favorite scary movie? Someone pick a trope and talk about it while I try and nail down this stupid...
Or Fess is going to fire us all.
Yeah, he might pay us less.
Than nothing.
Yeah.
Yes, let's let the guest pick one.
Yeah, yes, pick one.
Let the guest pick.
Put the guest on the spot, huh?
Yes. That's what we do here. That's how we roll.
Pretty much.
Indeed.
Welcome to the Tropecast.
Yeah. See, I have to think about that, and that requires a lot of skill this time of night.
I cannot brain today. I have the dumb.
Yeah.
I got plus ones from Adam. I got... This is lame.
Trying to think of something.
Well, just you got that list there, right? Just
I don't have any list.
You said that you had the list. It's on Google Plus.
Oh, is there a list?
Yes.
Yes, there's a list.
Yeah.
I see it now. It was the above link. Okay.
No, we wouldn't do that. Yeah, we're just.
I thought it was like here's a boat, no paddle. yes. How about the whole removing the head or destroying the brain? I kind of like that one.
Oh, yeah. That's... Okay.
You know, that's always been a fun thing. It's kind of like laser tag almost, except with brains.
Brains.
Well, you know, I just... what was the... Zombieland had some of the most practical advice I've ever seen in a horror movie with the, like, you know, double tap and the rules the guy is laying out throughout the movie.
Mm.
Of course, then you get the situations where separating the head doesn't fix things.
Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, I was going to say Return of the Living Dead. If separating the head doesn't fix things, that's the point where you realize you're fucked.
See, that's always been one of those things that's been a little odd. It's the removal of the head, restriction of the brain does technically stop a zombie from functioning, but it doesn't actually kill them. Their parts can still move. They just can't really function very well.
I don't know. And if you don't have a head, you can't really, infect anything. I don't know.
Well, sure you can, as long as you have some kind of transfer of fluids. I mean, if you bleed into somebody or something, it would still count.
Yeah.
I mean, biting isn't the only thing to do. They're not actually eating.
They sometimes scratching, too.
Yeah.
I have the Zombieland rules. Fantastic.
Hey, and I have control of the chat room. Okay.
Hooray!
Allowing links. I have the power.
Now there will no longer be anarchy in that chat room.
Okay. Hey, I've been there the entire time, Kaito. I just couldn't talk because I had to put the passwords back in, apparently. So, okay. We got Mike just zombielandrules.com.
Yes.
Nice. And here, we'll throw this up into the chat, too. That's not what it should be.
Basically, they're just trying to sell DVDs and a t-shirt, but by golly, they have the rules.
Let's see. So we got rule one here, cardio. Rule two, the double tap. Always very handy. Beware of bathrooms, wear seatbelts, no attachments. What was the skillet?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that one. I don't know.
That's getting into nice, blunt, heavy weapons. Easy.
Is it?
Nice to swing. Gets things done.
Travel light, get a kick-ass partner with your bare hands. Don't swing low. Yeah. It's removing the head is of course the standard way to kill most things, but sometimes removing the head does not actually work, and like I said, that's the time when you realize that you got some serious problems, because that's when of course, the other thing, if removing the head doesn't work, usually the only other chance you got there is fire. And, is there a fire trope for... Well, of course, there's always kill it with fire.
Indeed, kill it with fire. There's always been one of the laws, just always aim for the heart or the head, everything else just pisses them off.
Right.
Okay, so... Then we can counter that with Kill It With Fire, which I will post the link to in just a second here. Any other prominent zombie-killing things that you can think of?
Shotguns win over everything else.
Yes.
There.
The only things you can use to kill a zombie properly is a sawed-off shotgun and an axe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... The only problem that I have with the sawed-off shotgun is they require ammo, and eventually you will run out of ammo.
Well, that is kind of the point. But at the same time, if you don't have something that uses ammo, eventually you're going to get tired.
And I will give bonus points for this one, as Razcat just pointed out in the chat room, cricket bats.
Cricket bats, indeed.
Yes. Oh, that's definitely... Mm-hmm. No, bonus points there.
I think that goes in the same direction as the skillet. Nice, blunt, heavy, solid.
Well, but
gets the job done.
Cricket bat, you got extra bonus points for style on that one, though. Plus,
you always want style, but that's why you have like the circular saw blade attached to the weed whacker. That's style.
Of course, there's also what was the first movie made by the Lord of the Rings guys and. The Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson, his horror movie, Dead Alive, The Lawnmower, Who here has seen Dead Alive?
No.
I have not.
Zombie horror movie. Very campy, over the top, almost trauma-esque. And at one point in time, when the guy is finally done and decides to dispatch with a large number of zombies, it involves strapping a lawnmower to himself.
Oh, geez.
Blades out. And
very nice.
Yeah.
Yep, that's campy and over the top, all right.
Yes, pretty much. That's yeah. All right, so I think we should take a pause here. We're going to gather ourselves. I'm going to take a couple more hits of Vicodin because I'm not really going to. Yes, I am. So anyway, we're going to pause for a station identification and once
Twix.
Again put Fess on the spot by giving huge amounts of praise to the incredibly appropriate break song that he's going to have had dug up by the time he finishes editing this. And we will be back uno momento.
That was Burn by Tony Goldmark, found on the Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Tropecast. Email us at tropecast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
So, we're talking horror tropes. We're just kind of taking it easy, going at them. We've talked about some of the ways to kill zombies. Let's see. What do we got? The bloody handprint. Let me pull that up and see what we got there.
I realized that I did the bloody handprint in my first novel, and it wasn't even a horror novel.
Okay, so bloody handprint. There's one for you, and one for you guys in the chat room. Okay, so yeah, the bloody handprint is...
Oh no, so-and-so's hurt. We can tell because there's a bloody handprint.
Yeah, you know, I think. Yeah, it's one of those things. This is a sign that something has gone horribly wrong. Though,
are you sure about that, though? Because I mean, maybe they're checking their blood for their blood sugar. You know, as a diabetic, you know that does come into play when you're thinking about zombie apocalypse.
It does at camp on that occasion, yeah. Because the best thing you want to do is have a sugar crash in the middle of you running from your zombies.
Right.
It is very important to check these
things.
Yeah,
but I think checking the blood sugar doesn't require the whole hand to be covered in blood. I think it's just a drop.
Sometimes it does.
Sometimes. Depends on how big of a sample you need. If you can't find a good spot.
Sure.
Yeah. You can be a little over excessive. It works. Or maybe while running away from the zombies, you didn't like the background you're using. You decide to paint.
Well, see, I think that the bloody handprint wouldn't be nearly as scary as... I mean, if you see, like, a bloody handprint on a wall, if you're just walking along and you see that, you're like, okay, something bad has happened here. But, oh, I don't know, if I saw a bloody ass print, I'd be a little more concerned. Like, oh,
that's
my God,
another problem.
What the hell happened here?
Wow.
Wow.
I'm just saying, that's, you know, I can see a situation, somebody gets their arm cut, they got blood running down their arm, they steady themselves on a wall, you got a bloody handprint. You know, I can understand that. That doesn't have to be a horror movie. If you get a bloody...
I was running from the zombies and somehow I'm bleeding out the ass. Is that what we're going with?
If you have a bloody ass print on a wall, something...
I'm just smearing my ass on everything.
And if you got a bloody ass print, like, on a ceiling or something, then...
What happened? The zombie get you? Hemorrhoids!
What the hell are you talking about?
Bloody nose.
And all I'm hearing is, my anus is bleeding!
My butthole! Oh, zombies are coming! Oh no!
I am a banana!
I'm a banana!
My spoon is too big!
That person had way too much time on their hands.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, but we're referencing Don Hertzfeld's Rejected.
Rejected.
Which is a...
Really funny.
Everything he makes is awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, the bloody handprint. Let's see. The other thing, you know, and I know that the bloody handprint often accompanies this, but anytime you've got, like, cheap scaffolding up, and then you've got, like, just the plastic tarps over it, that is becoming even more, like, I know that that's a construction thing a lot of times, but that was one of the really effective scenes out of the whole Cloverfield thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not even sure if that would count as horror. I mean, that's really a giant monster movie. Most of the movie is just, you know, it's almost so surreal that it's really hard for any of it to have an impact. But there's these things that are coming off of the giant monster that are like giant fleas almost, and one of them bites one of the people. And they find this, like, army camp set up in a mall. And when the army people realize one of the people was bitten, they, like... She's, like, starting to bleed from the eyes and does not look really good. And they take her, like... And they take her behind one of those plastic sheet things. And then all you see is that she just sort of totters there for a second and then explodes. No explanation.
I remember that part.
No, but I mean, it's, you know, we just watched one of the main cast pop like a hot dog that was put in the microwave for like 5 minutes without sticking fork holes in it. And, you know, that was a very effective use of, but you see them a lot, like, if you've ever got the, and this is the difference between horror and, like, the suspense thriller sort of things. When you've got, like, the mad scientist doing experiments on people in the lab, in a warehouse that he's made into a laboratory, they use that, like, plastic sheeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually have a student film I did while I was in college that was a little horror film kind of a thing, and we used that construction plastic backdropping to do some ghosty kind of scratching against the wall effects. It actually is kind of cool if it's used right. In fact, I might have that on YouTube somewhere. I should check if I actually ever uploaded it. But anywho.
Yes, if he hasn't uploaded it, he should upload it, and then we'll have a link to it. And if we don't have a link to it, it means he wussed out. Chicken! Chicken!
Actually, hold on. I've got it. There you go. Have a thing.
Oh, hey. We got a link. All right. I'm copying the link, and I'm sticking it in the chat room.
Hooray. Yes. Amateur hour.
Don't watch it now, because we're talking.
Yes.
Right.
Watch it later. Or if this was recorded, you can pause and come back. But if you're actually in the chat room, stay here.
Yes. Anyway, but yeah, that's okay. So let's kind of get away from TV tropes and just sort of freestyle it here. Other than the bloody handprint and the mysterious plastic sheeting, what are some other good signs that you've got, like, a horror, you know, you're walking, it's a fall day, you've got a bunch of friends, and you realize suddenly that you're in a horror movie? What is it that you just saw that told you that you're in a horror movie? You know, that's, other than obviously, like, a zombie eating somebody in the park, because that's usually a good sign, something.
Well, the first point you usually see is that the body of the first victim that's discovered, which is usually mutilated and like put on display almost.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or are we
so
talking
somebody
like
stumbles across it.
Okay. I think like the lone cell phone lying on the ground where a person was standing a minute ago is a good sign something bad.
Or you get the splotches of blood on the ground, the little trail that sometimes appears, you know.
Or the big trail.
Or the big trail, either
yes.
way.
Yes, the... Liz, you want to join in here?
I'm thinking the, you know, oh, what did I see moving in those trees over there? Oh, it must have been my imagination, you know, like the monsters creeping around.
Okay, yeah, that's, I think the sudden eerie, you know, like the birds all stop.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good sign, or,
when nothing makes a sound, you know something's wrong.
Well, how do you think cell phones have, like, changed horror movies? I've noticed that a bunch of them have sort of, either they'll play it, you know, like, oh no, my cell phone isn't working here. But, because the thing about watching a horror movie from, like, the 70s or 80s, I'm watching it and be like, okay, if they had a cell phone, this would be a completely different sort of thing.
Yes. Well, that is always it. It's always been the idea of the horror movie is you have been isolated from everyone else. You no longer have power of numbers. You will be picked off. And if you have a cell phone, you can call for help or try to call somebody. So they had to eliminate that from the equation. So suddenly you walk into the middle of the woods and there's no signal anywhere and there's no lights and nobody's around. And
your battery is dead. And
the battery's dead for unexplicit reasons. And, an EMP pulse just went off somewhere. I don't know.
All right, but
a storm took out a
if they
a
didn't
signal tower.
Do that, though, what do you think? I mean, what would... I haven't really seen a horror movie yet that actually, you know, remembered that cell phones exist as part of the formula, unless
well,
it was
about
the cell phone.
Well, that's not true. Scream did. Scream had cell phones through the entire thing.
Scream did, but nobody ever used them unless it was like a plot-specific moment, you know, like...
But you know what movie I'm thinking of? Has anyone ever seen See No Evil with the rest
Kane?
Of Kane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, in the hotel.
And, and the blonde chick keeps using her phone constantly, and it ends up being her undoing at the end.
Well, yeah, and I just, I watched, Final Destination 5. The... Was it 5? 4? The one with the bridge that came out this summer. And there's a character that's using the cell phone throughout the entire movie up until his untimely demise, too. But yeah, it's... I mean, think just about, like, Twitter. You know, like... sending out a tweet, you know, like, where the hell did everybody go? OMG, being stabbed, WTF.
Yeah, that was awesome to see right there, being chased by man in hockey mask.
Ow, 1111.
Yes, and your last moments have been retweeted.
You're looking at the monster, and you're like, could you stay right there? I want to take a picture and post this on my Facebook.
Well, you know, that'd be the undoing of the thing in Jeepers Creepers, because that... I loved Jeepers Creepers up until we actually saw the monster, and then as soon as we saw him, completely lost all credibility. It was like spooky, spooky horror thing, and then we saw it, and I was like, this is the thing that they're running from? Seriously?
It's a giant bug in a trench coat. Fantastic.
Hit it with the car again. Now turn the windshield wipers on. You're done. Let's see here. Somebody else go look for some more cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
What was the Japanese horror movies are a totally different thing. We've started adding some of the stuff in here, but they're big. The Japanese are the only ones that could give like Cronenberg a run for the whole body horror thing. Oh, hey, look, it's the body horror trope.
Hooray.
You know, the Cronenberg, anytime you see a movie where somebody winds up having, like, let's see here.
The white shirt of death. Okay.
Yeah, we have a very vocal person in the chat room. Do you have Skype, Kathy? Because I'll totally bring you in on this if you actually want to talk instead of just being in the chat room. She says she might.
Oh, boy.
We can...
More blood for the blood god.
Let's see, they always go...
More numbers so we don't all get killed.
She points out several good things about the cell phone thing. They always go off at the most inconvenient time. Falls into
well, that's what happens to the girl in See No Evil.
Yeah,
she's hiding in the closet of all things, and
see, I would like to see the story plot of a movie where the phone company is actually in league with the killer.
Well, you know, Stephen
operator.
Stephen King wrote a horror novel about that, but then again it'd be like, okay, sentient bananas coming to life and killing everybody. Stephen King wrote a horror novel about that. It's hard to come up with an idea that Stephen King hasn't already written something about.
There should be a trope somewhere about that, actually. Just
what, like Simpsons did it but for horror?
Yeah, something like that.
Stephen King did it.
Yeah, well, he did. But yeah, okay, so body horror is where the part of the horror is that the main character or somebody else has turned into something, and it's the, you know, like the, there was an anime, it was actually a spinoff of Gao Gai Gar called Better Man, and one of it was a spooky thing. There was a virus that caused people to like randomly mutate, and one of the things was it turned humans into four-legged monster things, but it did it by like they did like a crab walk and their head opened up into like a giant mouth. And that was like the front of it. So you were sort of reversed where you were if you turned into one of these monsters, you were face up, but your face wasn't your face anymore because your new face was the top of your head, which opened into like a giant tooth-filled mouth as you lunged through chasing after people. It was really, but
nice.
Cronenberg does this in practically every movie that he's doing. Of course, he's doing like historical documentary thingies now. So, I'm trying to remember. He's doing like a new one that's about Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung, which, you know, that's an entirely different sort of horror right there. But Cronenberg is Videodrome. Who else could forget RoboCop with a giant cassette tape eating vagina sprouting out of his chest?
Nice.
Who has seen Videodrome? Have you seen Videodrome?
No. Don't think so, actually, no.
Freaky. If you ever run across, like, at a Goodwill or a yard sale or something, a cassette tape of Videodrome, buy it, because the DVD just does not do it justice, because it's all about a cassette tape, and it's like, it's like having a cassette tape for The Ring. You know, it's apropos. But, okay, Cronenberg, Naked Lunch, with the, like, insect with the talking asshole on its mouth, or on its back. The Fly, Jeff Goldblum.
And good movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's body horror right there. Anything where, you know, somebody has a bathroom cabinet full of their former body parts that have fallen off of them. That's a good body horror right there. And that's, I think, one of the big shifts that I've noticed with horror movies, when you get a Jason or a Freddy or a Pinhead or something like that, you feel sorry for the person. Like, you know, as they're being pinned to the tree with the machete, you feel empathy for the person. But when you're watching, like, a Saw or Hostel,
well, they start to train characters that they almost deserve what they're getting. They're trying to make it blur that line for you. Well, that they aren't victims as much as, you know, they created this position themselves.
Like Seven.
Yes. But it's the idea is, here we go, add. Let's drag her into this mess.
Yes. Drag her into
the
mess.
Come join us. We have beef jerky.
Come join us.
Beef jerky and Vicodin.
One of us.
Yes.
One of us.
Beef jerky and Vicodin set.
I am fading. So
that sounds delicious.
Skype. Yay. Okay.
Hey, and apparently Jesus.
Jesus. Beef jerky, Vicodin, and Cheez-It sandwich?
You're going to want to mute the chat now.
Yeah, I'm going to mute. Get mad.
Welcome to the Tropecast. Sign in and say who you are and plug whatever you want to plug, if you want to plug something. I met you at Toracon last year and gave you one of my hand-drawn doodle apples, if I remember correctly.
Yes, you did.
Haha.
What do?
I remember people. I know things.
Oh, that's it's the drugs.
Fess is going to have so much fun editing this.
Yes.
All right. So, welcome to the last half of the Tropecast. Introduce yourself and stuff.
Well, I'm Razcat, or just Cat, if you want to do that way. I don't know. And I can't really plug anything because I'm just really lame.
No.
Well, you don't sound lame.
You're not lame.
You had a really neat website that had a bunch of your artwork and stuff up. I remember that.
It's razcat.net.
Okay.
It's in the middle of an I'm upgrading it at the moment, so it still says I'm 23, so that's a complete lie.
Well, it's okay. This will be downloadable for all the ages, so hopefully by the time, you know, at some future time when people are listening to this, you will have finished the thing, and it'll be all fine. So, you were full of useful suggestions and stuff in the chat room, and I thought we'd drag you into this because my brain is not braining so hot right now. So, anything you want to particularly throw out there? Ooh, excuse me.
Well, I don't know. What are we up to now? Did we go to body horror?
Yeah, we were just sort of... I was talking about the thrills of anything by Cronenberg. And I was trying to get us onto the Japanese-style horror movies. You know, the
lots head. Of spraying blood and sharp gnawing teeth. Sure. And everything has lens flare.
And is wet, generally. The Japanese wet. Seem to have a lot of water in their horror movies.
There is something yes. about, yeah.
And girls with really long, stringy, dark hair that's covering their faces.
Yes.
And just like everything else with the Japanese, they have tiny, tiny pants on boys.
Yes. Why not?
To the accentuate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
they lift and separate
at people, and yeah, that's that was
they can pull off skinny jeans. Okay. They're the only type of people that can pull off skinny jeans.
This is not I don't think this is a trope, but I think this should be a trope, and I'm going to throw this out right now that somebody should go through the process of getting this added to TV tropes. When I watched The Grudge, there was this cognitive dissonance that I had because Buffy was in it, and Buffy was getting her ass kicked by something that Buffy should not have gotten her ass kicked by. And I classified that movie and have classified several things else since then as Buffy-no. Because Buffy, no. You're watching a thing and you're like, Buffy, no. You know how to fight this thing. You've done this before. Stab it in the face. You're good at this stuff. Why are you losing? Stop crying. This is.
Would that be getting into an idea of metacasting?
Well, yeah, I think it's not so much typecasting as it is if you've got somebody that's traditionally cast in. Is best known for one type of a role, and then you cast them in something. Be like if you cast Kevin Sorbo in a role where he's getting his ass kicked in sword fights. You know, it's it just doesn't.
Well, here, I'll give you the link.
Or Arnold Schwarzenegger having a baby.
Well.
Well, how about Danny DeVito having a baby?
That'd be even scarier.
Okay, so we got metacasting.
Metacasting.
I suppose that's kind of a thing. Here, we'll throw the link up into the chat room.
That's okay, the first example on that for the film with Robert Downey Jr. being cast as Iron Man. Yeah, he is Tony Stark.
Well, yeah, but But that's the thing, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark. This isn't so much about, like, the real world...
As it is the character.
Yeah, it's like, if you've got somebody who's... it's sort of like the gag casting, but the other way around. Like, George Carlin, you know, renowned critic of Catholicism, playing... a priest in the Kevin Smith movies for the extra lulls. That's sort of the polar opposite of this. This is, you know, this person, you know, it's like having Bill Murray in a movie where he's being terrorized by a ghost and has no idea what to do about it. You know, you are the one that you call. It just doesn't. It bugs me when they do that. You know, they put somebody who ought to know better in a horror movie and then let them be sacrificed to whatever it is. And you're just sitting there going, no, you're smarter than this. It'd be like if they had the guy that was in Zombieland in another zombie movie that wasn't Zombieland, where he doesn't know the rules now.
Yeah.
So, Oh, we got somebody's thumping on their mic. Okay. Other Japanese horror movie things. What are some of the other defining horror trope thingies for the Japanese horror movies?
I've never watched a Japanese horror movie.
You've never?
Have we mentioned
the closest thing that I've ever done is, you know, The Ring, which is actually the only movie that I've ever walked out of.
I've seen the Scary Movie spoof.
The Ring was actually hilarious. Laughed the entire time. I'm weird like that.
Well, normally I laugh at horror movies, but The Ring, like, I'm kind of sensitive to sound, so in the movie theater, not having control of the volume was really, really bad. And then when the girl's father strapped a bunch of electric cords to himself in the tub, my mom used to work for the Baltimore Regional Burn Center, and so I had had enough at that point. I was like, oh, God, no. I know what that looks like in real life. I'm leaving.
Okay. All right. Well, how about we bring it back home then? This was a sort of it gave birth to a whole new sort of rise of horror movies and a different type of horror movies here in the United States, and that was the Blair Witch Project.
Oh dear, that was so funny.
So
I got bored.
Hmm?
I got bored with that movie.
Well, I saw it at a drive-in, which was significantly more effective because we were actually outside in the woods, essentially. Because it was like trees on three sides at night. And it was at the very beginning of the viral marketing campaign when they hadn't come out of the, like, they hadn't actually officially come out and said that this was not all. Okay, reference for people who have not seen The Blair Witch Project. It's was the one of the first, like, major movies released where it's a fake documentary that was from found footage, and it was about these three stupid teenager film students who go into the woods looking for a witch and wind up finding her and getting exactly what they deserve. So that was what it was. But the thing was, they passed it off as being actual documentary footage, at least at the very beginning, and had a bunch of viral marketing campaigns with the internet and, like, Sci-Fi Channel running a documentary. Like, they did the making of thing, but they did the making of thing like the movie had been real. So it was a really, really powerful way to do a movie. And it brought, brought a bunch of copycats into it. I mean, even Cloverfield, which we mentioned earlier, the whole cinema veritas feeling where you've got the like handheld shaky camera.
Yeah, the home video.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here.
I just had a hard time believing in the character, in the actors in Blair Witch. Like, for Cloverfield, it was a bit easier because I guess they could act better.
Well, most of the things for Blair Witch is they were kind of making up as they go along. I mean, they had a basic script, but they were impromptu for most of it.
Yeah,
why it kind of sucked.
In this scene, you're going to get from over here to over there and reveal that one of you lost the damn map. And that was pretty much the
script?
The script, yeah. I'm just reading through some of the Blair Witch related tropes, and it's one of them is the cluster F-bomb, and it says, due mainly to the improvised script, it's not casino levels of bad, but you can tell it's the favorite word of the movie. This was parodied by humor columnist Dave Barry, who wrote a sample of the dialogue replacing the F-bomb with the word darn, and its first character, darn you, you darned got us darned lost in these darned woods, darn. Second character, go darn yourself, squirrel, will you darners shut the darn up? So, I mean, it was, oh, okay. Here's a good one that we can go off on. Creepy children. Yeah. Then this ties back nicely into the Japanese one as well. But anytime you get a, anytime you get like children, especially children wearing like, I think the more formal the wear the child is wearing, the creepier they become by default.
Yes, and similarly the children also dress makes them creepier.
Oh yeah, yeah. The like six children standing together all wearing the same like Sunday dresses just in slightly different colors. I'm getting the hell out of there, because even if it's not like ghost children of a serial killer or something, something horrible is going on there. We're
children of the damned.
Yeah, or children of the damned, breeding Stepford wives. Something bad is happening here. Let's see.
Some little kid Ezekiel is gonna take out and sacrifice all the adults to some kind of demon god, and some children take over the city.
That was Children of the Corn, wasn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it was. And somewhere out there, Alex just went, they just said corn on the Tropecast, and I'm not there. Let's see.
Who really annoyed me was the kid in New Nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Well, is that one of the ones we riffed back in the old days? I forget.
We probably did. We tore through. I know I did a bunch of the Jason ones. I don't remember if we did New Nightmare.
I think we did a lot of the Nightmare ones, but that one was. I'm sure I made some like pedophile jokes at one point.
Oh yeah, no, it's, well, I mean, that's Nightmare 2 is like the most homoerotic thing that I've ever seen in a horror movie. Have you ever picked up on all of the gay subtext in Nightmare 2? Okay, it's the only Nightmare movie where the main character is a guy. And it's all about, like, Freddy entering his body. And he is the girl in the movie. It's just, it's a he.
And Freddy doesn't change tactics at all.
Yeah, Freddy does not change tactics even a little bit when he's going after a guy. It's just,
even to the point of the pulling him into the bed.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, it's watch Nightmare 2 again and watch it with, like, your gaydar turned on, and your gaydar will explode.
I may have to now.
Yeah, no, that's one of those things where they actually said that they had written it specifically for that, and nobody caught it, and so it slid through like Hollywood without anybody really noticing. Only in retrospect that people started picking up on, wow, this movie is incredibly gay. And I'm not meaning that in the slam way, I'm meaning that in the fabulous gay way. I mean, it's wow. No, it's, yeah. But yeah, it's, yeah, that's one of the weird things with Freddy Krueger, though, is at least with classic Freddy Krueger, I didn't like the new one so much.
No, it got too big and hulky and trying to be evil. The old Freddy had a personality. He was funny. He was clever. He was kind of playing their own game against them. The new one's just big and hulky and, I'm Freddy Krueger. I'm going to cut you. I don't care. Where's the personality? Where's the style?
Well, I think that as a counterpoint to the new Freddy Krueger movie, they should make like a Freddy X, like they gave Jason.
Oh my God!
I love Freddy Jason in space. X, though. I mean, that has some of the best lines in any horror movie. You know,
well, it was totally a parody of itself.
But it was a parody of itself. But it also has just some, you know, it's okay. He just wanted his machete back. And that's
really?
Or the yeah. like you think he's gone, and then one of the girls goes, you think he's gone, and then one of the other the smart ass mouth girl goes, I don't know, why don't you stick your head out there and find out? It's plus the
we love premarital sex.
Oh yeah.
That's probably the only good part of that whole movie, actually, was that part.
Plus the fact that they had all of the people from Andromeda on there, because I was an Andromeda fan. And plus, you know, now we've got an Andromeda and a Kevin Sorbo reference in one Tropecast.
Nice.
Okay, Mike and I were having a bit of an argument on Google Plus about this, and I think we should bring everybody in here. He said... I said that a couple going into a horror movie have double the chances of being killed, because if the thing kills one person in the couple, the other person in the couple is almost guaranteed to be killed. And he said... Give your counter argument.
Well, I think that, no, usually when you have a couple going on in the horror movie, one of them will be killed off, and then the other one will turn into mega badass vengeance person who's going to do everything to avenge the other one.
Right, but that usually still...
And they'll still usually die right before the end, but by golly, they'll go out fighting.
Well, I remember Chopping Mall. You know, Chopping Mall was like a every time somebody died, their partner then was the next person. It's like person A dies and it causes their boyfriend or girlfriend to go into like a heroic blue screen of death where they just either, you know, they do that, you know, I'm going to fight this thing myself, dead. Or they... If it's the guy that dies, then the girl just sort of sits there and cries over his body until she dies, too. I think that if you are in a relationship going into a horror movie, the only chance you have to survive is to break up during the course of the horror movie, because then the whole redemption of you getting back together thing... might keep you alive.
Well, no, whenever they break up, as soon as they break up, one of them runs away on their own to cry about it, and then they die.
And then the other person dies.
No, the other person sticks around because they finally realize they really did care about them, and suddenly they gain ultra powers.
Okay, so we've stated our opinions. You guys give us your opinions now. If you're in a relationship, does it give you a significantly higher or lower... or no change likelihood of being killed in a horror movie?
I think I've seen more like couples survive at the end if in the beginning they're not together. Like they had some sort of relationship, but that was in the past. That was like 5 years ago. And then they broke up over something horrible because someone ate the last jar of peanut butter. And then during the course of the movie, they get back together because, oh, death brings them together somehow.
If you ate an entire jar of peanut butter in one sitting, death is probably already claimed to you.
Yeah, especially if you're diabetic.
No, but we're... I'm talking... that is true. That is definitely true. I'm talking more about the ones where, you know, it's... You've got, like, the main characters, and then you've got the friends of the main characters who are secondary characters, but are, you know, like, already going out at the start of the horror movie.
If they're secondary characters, chances are, yes, they'll die.
Yeah.
If they're main characters, chances are, no.
I know how I would write it.
Okay.
I would write it that, you know, the one in the relationship dies, and then the one that's left turns into the uber badass and does something that makes it, you know, too stupid for them to live. So then they both die.
Well, there's Evil Dead. Evil Dead, I think, like, the main character, he was in the relationship in the beginning, and then he goes all crazy and loses an arm and bleeds like purple or something.
No, no, it was just a hand, and the hand was evil, so he had to lop it off because it was going to spread through his whole body.
He got better.
Yep. He got better. And then little itty-bitty versions of him appeared, and they tried to jump down his throat. And so he poured hot water after them to kill them.
That was a great movie. Sorry.
And then the evil Ash was born.
And then he fought Jason and Freddy, but only in the comics, because...
But only in the comics, because, yeah, they
that was
movie.
A nightmare.
And yeah.
He also fought a bunch of zombies in the Marvel universe, too, so...
Yes, the Marvel zombies.
Yeah.
Superhero zombies, and he didn't really fight them, he just ended up escaping. He didn't really do much of anything about it, but... Because they weren't dead-eyed zombies, they were other zombies, so he can really affect them, but...
My thing for killing zombies is completely useless on these zombies. Why didn't you tell me these weren't the zombies that I'm used to fighting?
Well, he did. He went to find the Book of the Dead, and the Book of the Dead laughed at him and said, these aren't mine. You're screwed.
I didn't make these.
And then he threw the book at them, because apparently they wanted to eat human flesh, and by golly, the book was made of human flesh, so screw you, book.
Now, I personally would have used the Book of the Dead to start raising some deadites of my own, and then
actually he did. He did start up a deadite army to fight the superhero army, but it mostly was a distraction because they weren't strong enough to fight off the superhero zombies.
Hot zombie on zombie action. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. So they ended up using Dr. Doom's technology to escape. And then he ended up in a dimension full of werewolves instead.
Yes, well. Did you hear what happened at the zombie hockey game? There was a face-off in the corner. I love Vicodin.
It's a hell of a drug.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, how is everybody feeling? Like you want to keep going? We can probably call it. We can probably stick a pin in at this point. But
yeah, I think I don't know how everyone else feels, but I feel like.
Well, I am sitting in a hotel room at the moment, and.
All right. Well, we're gonna take another break, and then anybody who wants to bail at this point, go ahead and say your goodbyes now, and then whoever is left will rejoin us when we pick back up on the other end of this break.
Sorry, due to technical difficulties with Ustream, the remainder of the show is unavailable. So we thank you for checking out the Tropecast. Go to thetropecast.com for future episodes. And check out the Webcast Beacon Network for other delightful programming for you to enjoy.